This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 21st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check a stormy AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. It appears nearly $1.5 billion in state budget cuts will remain. Last week, the Illinois House voted to restore about one-third of that amount. But the Senate, which must go along with the House for the money to be put back, has no intention of returning to the Capitol. Sean Crawford has more.
The Senate president says unless the House follows his chamber's lead and approves more revenue to cover those budget items, there's no need to return. But House members are critical of the Senate, saying President Emil Jones is simply trying to protect a pending pay raise. Coming back to Springfield could force a vote that would jeopardize the more than 7% salary increase. Fred Crespo, a Democratic state representative from Hoffman Estates, says the public is demanding action.
You know, a lot of folks are looking for some kind of hope that we understand what they're going through. And I think when you read the newspapers, the editorial boards, when you look at what people are saying on the street, they're saying, guys, you should vote those pay raises down, loud and clear. And I know they've heard the same thing. So if they're responsible, if they're doing what's right, they should come back and vote on that.
If the Senate sticks with its plan to stay away from the Capitol until November, it could make it easier for the pay raises to occur, as it would be after the elections. The House voted down the pay raises earlier this year, but unless rejected by both chambers, all lawmakers will receive them. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Vermilion County Coroner's Office had identified the victim of Sunday's early morning shooting in Danville as 23-year-old Zellner Douglas Brown. Danville Police Spokesman Larry Thomason says a local man is being sought but released no other information in regard to the suspect. The shooting occurred in the 500 block of East Main Street near downtown in the parking lot of an Elks Club lodge around 1:30 yesterday. Thomason says the shooting occurred while Brown and another man were arguing, but Thomason says the incident appeared to have nothing to do with the Elks Club. County Coroner Peggy Johnson says an autopsy on Brown's body is scheduled for this morning. Brown's death was the second homicide of the year in Danville. Democrat Barack Obama reports spending $25.6 million in June for his presidential campaign, his lowest monthly operating cost of the year. Financial reports filed yesterday with the Federal Election Commission show the Illinois senator raised $52 million during the month, his second highest monthly total. He also reports $72 million in cash on hand at the start of July. Obama clinched the Democratic nomination June 3rd. His contributions included $1.4 million raised through a joint victory fund set up with the Democratic National Committee. He reports a debt of $891,000. Things are different at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles nowadays in Indiana. The agency used to be the butt of jokes with a reputation for low morale, long waits, and scandal. Now state officials say the agency has turned a corner. The average wait time at the state's 140 branches has declined from 28 minutes in 2006 to less than 9 minutes now. And through thousands of surveys of BMV customers, about 97% so far this year have rated their experience at a BMV branch as either excellent, above average, or satisfactory. BMV officials say that's partly due to new options for motorists, including appointments available at many branches and enhanced online services. Illinois Department of Agriculture says it's identified two beetles collected in Bloomington as emerald ash borers, the pests blamed for the destruction of millions of North American trees. The beetles were trapped recently in an industrial area on Bloomington's southwest side. This is the most southern sighting in Illinois of the highly destructive beetle. The metallic green pest was spotted in Chicago for the first time last month. Emerald ash borers are highly destructive and tough to fight. They feed on ash trees, eventually killing them. They've been blamed for killing millions of trees in Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ontario. This week, the Environmental Protection Agency is expected to make a decision that could affect ethanol production and corn prices. Adrian Hill has the story.
The governor of Texas has asked the EPA to reduce the Renewable Fuel Standard program. That's the program that requires fuels like ethanol be blended with gasoline. Ethanol opponents say production is pushing up the price of corn, the price of food, and hurting the economy. Any change in policy could have an impact on grain markets in Chicago. Richard Feltes is an analyst with MF Global.
The markets are very aware of it. Folks are making phone calls to Washington trying to get an insight as to how the EPA might rule on it. It is something that could, of course, adversely affect the corn market if indeed the EPA elects to suspend the mandate even temporarily.
Feltes thinks the EPA is unlikely to make any change. That's just what groups like the Illinois Farm Bureau are pushing for. I'm Adrienne Hill.
A new Champaign-Urbana street map released over the weekend shows bicyclists the best ways to get around town. The cycling group ChampaignCountyBikes.org designed the new map. Chairman Rick Langloy says it lays out the easiest and safest ways to get around Champaign-Urbana by bike.
Because there is no real solid infrastructure guiding cyclists around the area, and because we have a lot of turnover in citizens and residents of the area, we wanted to have a way to help people, particularly those less familiar with the area who want a bicycle, or people who are starting to bicycle and haven't perhaps before. We wanted to have a way for them to find their way around.
Langloy says members of ChampaignCountyBikes.org drew on their own experience to determine the best streets for bicycling. The streets are marked by colors showing the level of comfort for cyclists. The map also includes tips and rules for safe cycling on city streets. The cycling map is being distributed through local bicycle shops. It's also available at ChampaignCountyBikes.org's information table at the downtown Urbana Farmers Market every Saturday. Chicago Sun-Times columnist Richard Roper says he's leaving the nationally syndicated show At the Movies with Ebert and Roper after 8 seasons. In a statement yesterday, Roper said he failed to reach agreement with Disney ABC Domestic Television, an extension of his contract, which expires at the end of the 2007-08 season. Roper says his last show will air the weekend of August 16th and 17th. Roper joined Sun-Times movie critic and Urbana native Roger Ebert on the show in 2000. After the 1999 death of Ebert's original co-host, Chicago Tribune critic Gene Siskel. In the past 2 seasons, medical problems have prevented Ebert from appearing on the show, so Roper has welcomed a long series of guest co-hosts who have included such entertainment celebrities as Jay Leno, Harold Ramis, and John Mellencamp. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Baseball season, but instead of reviewing the rules of the game, commentator Amy Guida reviews the laws of the game, key when something baseball-related causes injury. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
You know the song about the old ball game, Peanuts and Cracker Jack? There's some suggestion that attendees never want to get back, but no one's supposed to take that literally. And yet this summer, 2 separate events could have prevented return trips home for an unlucky boy and what police say was an ill-mannered man. The boy got hit in the head with a foul ball at Wrigley Field. The man allegedly spit sunflower seeds at an umpire at a kid's baseball game outside Chicago. The events themselves are different, of course. One involved an unintentional physical injury, and the second, police say, may have involved an intentional but probably mostly psychic injury. And because of their differences, they help illustrate some interesting points about the law of battery. Sometimes a sunflower seed packs more of a punch than a baseball. Battery, to put it simply, is an intentional unwanted touch. A left hook, for example, planted in a place other than a boxing ring. It's a wrong found in both tort law and criminal law. That means that one act of battery can potentially lead to 2 separate court actions, one filed by the person injured and one filed on behalf of the people of the state of Illinois through the local state's attorney. In tort law, the defendant can be forced to pay damages to the plaintiff. In criminal law, of course, the defendant can be forced to pay a fine or even go to prison. You probably heard about the ball that beamed the boy in Chicago this summer at Wrigley Field. The boy could sue, arguing that the batter committed battery or some other tort that led to his injury, but the boy probably wouldn't win. Sure, it's an unwanted touching, but it wasn't intentional. And if he sued for accidental injury, another barrier would be waiting. Courts have routinely held that those who attend baseball games should know that there's a danger of a foul ball lurking behind every swing of the bat. It's the old assumption of the risk problem. Even young Americans are charged with knowing the full dangers of the national pastime. The criminal law would be similarly uninterested. In Illinois, criminal battery is intentional physical contact of an insulting or provoking nature with an individual. If a ball player intentionally hit the ball toward a heckler, say, there might be a case, but not when a foul ball goes astray. This also explains why the man outside Chicago, who allegedly spit sunflower seeds at an umpire, faces battery charges. If the sunflower spitting story is true, that could well be a battery, even though whatever allegedly hit the umpire had a lot less heft than the baseball that hit the boy. Police say one charge is the even more serious aggravated battery. And remember the overlap between criminal law and tort law? If things happened as news reports claim, and assuming the sunflower seeds found their mark, the umpire could sue the spitter for tortious battery. An umpire might assume the risk of a foul ball, sure, but not foul behavior involving sunflower seeds. Under the law, then, an arcing sunflower seed can lead to more liability than a bat-propelled baseball. And with aggravated battery being a felony, in the old ball game, sometimes it's the peanuts and cracker jack that could mean you never get back. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until noon today. Otherwise, the forecast for east central Illinois calls for occasional showers and thunderstorms this morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high around 88. Mostly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 65. Partly sunny tomorrow, the high around 82. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 62. Mostly sunny Wednesday with a high around 82 degrees. Mostly clear Wednesday night with a low around 62 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.